The message was Jesus, the Son of Man, who has authority on earth to forgive sins. Now, this week, I would add to that and power to empower those that are healed. So, we'll read some scriptures and consider those today. Mark chapter 2, first of all. And I will read in brief, since I read these things to you last week. Two of the man that is paralyzed, and four of his friends are bringing him on a stretcher, as we would think of it, a couch, bed, to Jesus. Verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed whereon the sick of them palsy lay. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins are forgiven. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak? He blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins but one, even God? And straightway, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, said unto them, how reason ye these things in your heart? For which is easier, to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority, this is the word exousia, authority on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. And he arose, and straightway took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now, Luke 7. In brief, starting at verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired our Savior that he would eat with him. And he entered into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman who was in the city, a sinner. And when she knew that he was sitting at meat in the Pharisee's house, she bought an alabaster cruise appointment, and standing behind at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee that had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have perceived who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, teacher, say on. A certain lender had two debtors. The one owed 500 shillings and the other 50. And let me tell you the amount that you can understand. We were studying the other week, and a shilling or a penny, the denarius here, is the going wage for a day's work. So just think of what you make in a day, and let's look at it that way now. Look at verse 41. A certain lender had two debtors. The one owed them 500 days wages, and the other 50 days wages. So about 2 months wages, and then 2 years wages. 42. When they had not wherewith to pay, he graciously forgave them both, freely, loving. Which of them therefore will love him most? Simon answered and said, he, I suppose, to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And turning to the woman, he said unto Simon, you see this woman? And he told all that she did, and he said, you did none of these things. And look at verse 47. Wherefore, I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that studied meat with him began to say within himself, who is this that even forgiveth sin? And he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. And again, chapter 23. Verse 39. A thief on the right and a thief on the left. And from the other gospel accounts, we know that both of them railed on our Savior at first, but as they continue to hang there in agony, verse 39. One of the malefactors that were hanged railed on him, saying, art not thou the Christ, that is, the promised Messiah? Save thyself and us. The other answered and rebuking him, said, dost thou not even fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And he said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Let us seek God again in prayer. Father, who but you could pick out from those who had encounters with Christ during his brief stay on earth such examples as these? Men, women, at times, children, old, young. And our Father, from all the things that he did, and the earth could not contain everything he did, if everything was written and expounded upon, but we're thankful for the few things that you have given us. They're thrilling to our souls. They flood our understanding with light. And that is what we desire this morning. Let us know, last week, we learned somewhat about your Son, the Son of Man that hath authority on earth to forgive sins. We would learn what else he has in addition to that, in behalf of sinners, to help us this day. We thank you for everything you've done for us. Receive our thanks, our gratitude. And we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Two words, I mentioned one, the word exousia, and there is another one, dunamis. So often the King James translates them both indiscriminately, power. And the word power can mean authority. I say by the power invested in me when I perform a marriage ceremony. But that is the authority. But the word exousia speaks of authority, the lawful right to do something. There are people who do things, but they have no authorization. They have no authority. And then there are others that pretend to be able to do things, but when they try, they have no power. But our Savior had both authority and power. And what was so frustrating, what was so maddening to the enemies of Christ, that when he went about doing his Father's business, some of the things that his Father told him to do, while infuriating his enemies, caused them to say, blasphemy. Nobody but God can forgive sin. And then the Lord Jesus began explaining to them how much the Father had committed into the hands of the Son. He said, during his life on earth and before he went back to heaven, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, you go. The Father had given him authority, and then, before he went back to heaven, he said, I, who have the authority, authorize you to go. Now, I read you these three examples this morning, and in both of them, the Lord Jesus manifests his authority and his power. Because it is one thing to have authority to permit a man to do something, but then having authorized him to do it, he himself has no power to do it. The Lord Jesus, in the first instance, did something that he seldom did in other instances. He combined two things. He combined the outward and the inward. Most of the time, in fact, all of the time, to my knowledge, except the last one I read you, when men came to the Lord Jesus, they only wanted him to exercise his power to heal them of their diseases. Tell me anybody that ever came to Jesus and said, I want you to forgive me my sins. The nearest thing, and we shall consider this perhaps in detail, is when the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. It was not asking for forgiveness of sins, but this much we know. The Lord Jesus, to have a man in his kingdom when he establishes it on earth, isn't going to have a kingdom of sinners, but he's going to have a kingdom of those who have been forgiven. And so, this thief was asking for something that involved more than he understood, and Jesus did to him what he did not ask. So remember that most of the time, those who came to Christ came for one reason. They wanted some physical blessing from the Lord. The thief on the cross wanted a spiritual blessing from the Lord. In Mark chapter 2, the example that I gave you, here is a man that wanted both blessings from the Lord. We would never have known that he wanted forgiveness of sins, but Jesus did, which is what is so remarkable. That when men think things in their heart concerning the Savior, he knows the thought and intent of the heart. When they saw him forgive the man's sins, in their hearts they were thinking this, this is a blasphemer. Nobody can forgive sins but God. And he, in his heart, knew what they were thinking. Now, in like manner, in Luke chapter 7, I showed you that Simon the Pharisee, who invited him into his home, when he saw what our Savior was allowing that woman who in this city was a sinner, what he was allowing her to do, he said within himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who this woman is and what manner of woman this is. And Jesus knew what he was thinking. Isn't that remarkable? It's a dangerous thing when you have an enemy and you go and you talk to the enemy and he knows how to interpret your words and you say nothing and yet the one who says nothing, his heart is understood perfectly by the Lord Jesus. And that is our Savior. It says in John chapter 2, nobody knew man the way Jesus did. He needed no one to tell him what was in the heart of man. He understood all men. And as David said in Psalm 139, you know my down sitting, you know my uprising, you know my thought afar off. So when a man came into the presence of Christ, he was naked and laid open before the eyes of our Savior. So, when they came and said, Master, we have a question for you. Something's been troubling us. We want the answer. And he said, you hypocrites. He knew whether they were serious when they asked the question or whether they were trying to entangle him in his talk. So in all these instances that we have, the Lord Jesus knows the true condition of the heart. And here is what I found. That the Lord Jesus, when he sees a man come to him, and the man wants a physical blessing, and no more, the Lord Jesus bestows upon him a physical blessing, and no more. And if a man wants a spiritual blessing, and no more, the Lord Jesus bestows upon him a spiritual blessing, and no more. And if one comes, even unannounced, wanting a spiritual as well as a physical blessing, the Lord gives him both. And in all the scriptures, I've never found someone who came and asked for both. And only once do I find the Lord Jesus giving both physical and spiritual blessing to the same person. So, what we have to think of is this, and it's something that is inconceivable, that a man who was blind, that a man who was a leper, that a man who was paralyzed, could come to the Savior and say, I want you to heal me, and then say absolutely nothing about his spiritual condition. How strange. But a man would know that there's something wrong with him outwardly, and yet our senses tell us that. But at the same time, God has given us a conscience, and we know within that we have a need spiritually. But the physical is more evident, and when we are suffering, it's that which we want attended to first of all. But the sad thing is this, that some people in life can think, here is this leper, and he said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. The Lord Jesus said, all right, you're cleansed. That's all. And I think of those who, more distant than this, have come to the Lord Jesus and said to him, Lord, I want you to do something for my child. I want you to do something for my servant. And the Lord Jesus said, I will do it. And so he healed the centurion's servant, and he heals the nobleman's son, and he exorcises the demon from the Syrophoenician daughter, and that's all they ask him. Think of that. They come to Jesus, they get a physical blessing, and they go their way, and we do not know that they ever have any more contact or any more requests asked of the Lord Jesus. And I've known people on earth, those who are not religiously inclined, not churchgoers, but when their child was at the point of death, they would fall upon their knees and say, oh God, have mercy on my child. And God in his goodness would heal that child from sickness and death, and the father or the mother would get up off the knees and say, thank you, Lord. And that's the end of their relationship with the Lord. And so they can look back when people say, what do you know about God? And they can say, I know much about God. My child was sick once, and I cried unto God, and God heard me and healed that child. Thank God for such a testimony. But I would ask the parent this. Well, while asking God for something for your child, have you ever asked him anything for yourself, your forgiveness of sin? I never thought of that. So he is one who can do something for your child, and he does it, and you go through life not asking him to do all the other things that are impossible for you or any other man to do. You never ask him again? No, I never thought about that. The world is filled with people who, when in great straits, they cry to God, and God does something, and then they forget God. And then they might think back to one time that God did something for them, but then it ends there. I would think that if I had found a blessing, I would be this carnal. That if one had blessed me once, he could bless me again. I think of that because in John chapter 6, our Savior had fed 5,000. And then the next day, those that had been fed were coming after him as fast as they could. And they found him. And they started talking with him. And the Lord Jesus, again knowing their hearts, said, "You do not seek me because you understood the signs that I performed, but you seek me because you ate the bread and you were filled." The Lord Jesus knew their hearts. Some of them said, "We got a free meal once, and now we're coming back again." And the Lord Jesus understood. And so the Savior at times marveled at the behavior of his creatures. At times, he marvels at their unbelief. At times, he marvels at their great faith. And so this is the inconsistency of man. To discover that God's Son is on earth and he can do whatever is necessary in your life to be a blessing. And you come to him and ask for half of a blessing, but not a whole blessing. Because a man who has been healed outwardly is not healed inwardly. And a man who is healed inwardly is not healed outwardly. And when Christ was on earth, he could do both. And that's what he did in Mark chapter 2. He says, "Which is easier, to say to him that is paralyzed, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Take up your bed and walk?' He said, 'But you may understand that I, the Son of Man, have authority on earth to forgive sins.' He said to the sick of the palsy, 'Take up your bed and go home.'" And that's what the man did. And that was a demonstration of something that you cannot see with your eyes. But it is a proof of what has happened in your soul. If you and I were at a religious meeting and the gospel were preached and I wasn't saved, but then I was spoken to and told about calling upon the name of the Lord, and I called upon the name of the Lord and was saved, could you look at my body and tell that my sins were forgiven? You say, no. Well, where would you have to look? You say, into your heart. And who can do that? Only God. But I know this, that when I cried to God for forgiveness of sins, he forgave my sin. And the only way that I knew my sins were forgiven was by faith. It says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised." And I said to God, "You promised me that if I would call upon your name, you would save my soul." I said, "Lord, I'm calling upon your name, and you have promised to save my soul. I'm saved." It was just that simple. Now, if I were one who had a withered hand, or if I were a leper, or if I were paralyzed, and Christ healed me physically, we could see it. But once sins are forgiven, it is impossible to look into the heart of man. Only God knows the heart. But you can see outward manifestations of a change in the heart. That is why Christ spoke not only of faith, but of love. Here is this woman, and her activities have completely changed. You can't see anything inside, but you can see things on the outside. And the Lord Jesus said, "That woman's sins are forgiven. She loves much." He saw from her outward behavior that something inwardly had taken place in her. And in like manner, when he saw these five, not four, when he saw the faith of the four, but when he saw their faith, the faith of the five, the faith of the four in Jesus, if they could get this man to Jesus, he could heal him. And the man also had faith that if you can get me to Jesus, he can heal me. He saw that faith. And Jesus saw the faith in the heart of the man that he was prepared to have his sins forgiven. Jesus saw all of those things. So this is what I find in the scripture, that some are aware of their spiritual need, what is inwardly wrong with them, because God in his goodness has given them help, even though their sins are not forgiven. And there are others whose sins are forgiven, and yet physically, they are in a pitiable condition. I could wish that God would do both every time, but he does not. And what is so sad, that if there is not that desire in the heart, and someone comes and just desires a physical blessing, that's all Christ gives. Think now. When the leper had his leprosy, his uncleanness cleansed, the Lord Jesus did not say, your sins are forgiven as well. He just had his leprosy cleansed. But this woman in Luke chapter 7 and this thief in Luke chapter 23, they had no physical infirmity that they were concerned about. And yet the thief on the cross should have cried out with the one who cried to Christ at the first concerning his physical suffering. Listen to what the one thief says. He says, are you not the promised Messiah? Save yourself and us. What is he asking for? He said, I'm hanging here on this cross. I'm in agony. Save me. Set me down from this cross. And you come down too. No thought at all of his spiritual need. And the other thief, who was in as much agony as Christ and the other malefactor, he said, dost thou not even fear God? He was not even thinking about his physical suffering and being relieved of them. How remarkable. But he said, and this is what he's thinking, because some people can accept the sufferings of life if they understand it. He said, dost thou not even fear God, seeing you're in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He said, I'm hanging here being crucified as a criminal, and I deserve it. It's the just reward of my deeds. And so he does not ask to be removed from sufferings that he justly deserves. But he thinks of the spiritual need that exists in his soul, and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. His life on earth is wasted. It's gone. It's been one of sin. But he says, there's a life to come. And Lord, when we have that other beginning, when you come in your kingdom, will you remember me? And the Lord Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And so our Savior is going to do something for him immediately that day. And then, eventually, when the kingdom comes, indeed, he would be remembered in Christ's kingdom. So here is one who asked for a blessing, and Christ gave him both. He spoke of the distant future, when you come in your kingdom, whenever that is, remember me. The Lord said, I'll remember you then, but I'm going to remember you today. And the Bible says, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that's what he does. We ask for something small. And if there is the capacity and the inward desire for more, then he gives us that as well. Let me say this about the three and show you how beautiful it is. I told you that Christ not only had the authority, but he had the power. He has the power as well as the authority. The power to enable those that have been blessed to live and serve, to walk before God the way that they should have walked before Christ came into their lives. Now think, here is the man that is paralyzed. And when Christ healed him, he has power to enable him to walk. And so here is one who was paralyzed, but Christ, having healed him, says, now walk, take up your bed and go home. And so the man was empowered, not only forgiven, but he was empowered to do what he could not do before. Think of this now. If Christ has come into your life, and you haven't been able to walk for the Lord before, because we're transferring it to the spiritual now, you've been unable to walk for God before, Christ says, now, walk, go home, take up your bed. This is what is so remarkable. that the man had been paralyzed lying on that bed. And now Christ empowers him and he says, now, that bed that supported you, pick it up and take it on home. And so the man picked up the bed and walked. So Christ, who comes into the lives of those that call upon him, they're unable to walk for God. The woman in Luke chapter 7, her sins had been forgiven, and she in the city, up until recently, had been a sinner. That's what characterized her. Sin. She was a sinner. But now this woman whose sins are forgiven, something has happened within her, and now she has become a worshiper. You see? In the first instance, it was the man walking. Christ empowered him to walk. But now here is a woman that had been a sinner, and the Lord Jesus has empowered her to worship. She comes in and weeps upon his feet, and washes them with her tears, wipes them with the hair of her head, kisses his feet, and anoints his feet with ointment. And therefore this woman, whose life had been sinned, is now forgiven and cleansed, and now she has become a worshiper. Think, it says in the Bible that we are to walk worthily of God, and this man is walking, and God is seeking worshipers, and this woman is worshiping, and one more remains. It says, go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. And it says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in the whole world. And here is this thief on the cross, and when he is remembered by Christ, he's crucified, he's not expected to walk, he is crucified, he cannot worship, but there is one thing that he can do, and he did it. He can witness for the Lord. And he turned and rebuked that thief. He said, dost thou not even fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. This man hath done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. The man witnessed, and Christ empowers us, however handicapped we are. The man is crucified, but he can witness for Christ. So, he who has authority to forgive sins also has power to enable us to walk, to enable us to worship, to enable us to witness. And these three examples do just that. And so, now that Christ has saved our souls, how does the world know it? They'll know it if we've been lying on a bed, and we get up and take that bed home. And if our life has been one of sin, and now sin is gone and we're worshiping the Lord, and if our mouth has been filled with cursing, but now it's filled with testimony concerning the worthiness of Christ and his dying for sinners, the world will know then. And so you trust the Savior. He has authority on earth to forgive sins. Know that. And he has power to enable you to live and do what you would for God. He can do all these things. So do not ask him for one, but ask him for the other as well. Christ has done all things well. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank you for this one who has authority and power, and he's the one who uses it for the blessing of mankind. We're so glad that we believe that our sins are forgiven because Jesus told us, and he said, I am the truth, and you cannot lie. We trusted him, Father. We've met your condition. We have trusted in the precious blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And he told us, Son, thy sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven, daughter. We are thankful for that assurance in Christ. And you've enabled us to walk. We once were sinners, but we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And now we can walk today and worship. And let us be witnesses as well. And Father, work upon the hearts of those to whom we speak, and let them be saved. We thank you for Jesus Christ our Lord, in his name. Amen.